Welcome to the Equipers Church Budapest podcast. We hope today's message will encourage and inspire you. For more information, check equiperschurch.hu.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today. Daryl and I bring our greetings from our church, Northview Community Church. We pray for you. We hear your stories and updates. And I have to tell you, we are blown away by the stories we hear of how you are living on mission for God. You inspire us. Your heart to reach the lost is an inspiration for us. And so we pray for you. We pray God's blessing and encouragement over you. And we are excited to continue to hear how God is moving in Budapest. There was a UK pastor on an airplane, and he was having this conversation with a lady, and he knew if you're in the ministry, you want to not talk to anybody, just tell them you're a reverend. Two things happen, I'll tell you this. If I go to get my hair cut, and the lady cutting my hair says, "So what do you do for a living?" And I tell her I'm a pastor, she either stops talking, or I have to pay extra because she keeps me in the chair for so long while she tells me her whole life story. You know what I mean. So this American or this British pastor was on an airplane, and this lady said to him, he asked this lady what she did for a living. And she told him, and he responded to her question, "What do you do for a living?" with this incredible illustration. He says, "I work for a global enterprise. We've got outlets in nearly every region and country in the world. We have hospitals and hospices and homeless shelters. We do marriage work. We've got feeding programs and educational programs. We have all sorts of justice and reconciliation things. Basically, we look after people from birth to death, and we deal in the area of behavior alteration." When asked what this enterprise was called, the pastor said, "It's the church." What a great answer, amen? I would add one more thing to his list. I would add that as a follower of Jesus, you can go to nearly any place in the world and find family. Because the church is to be known by her love. So in Canada, I'm not only the pastor of a church, I'm also the principal of a Christian elementary school. So our school system begins at age 4 with junior kindergarten. And our elementary school goes from JK to grade 8. So we have students from 4 years old to turning 14. And my 134 students also pray for you. And so I bring you greetings from Rima Christian School. And I have a little guy in my school that I promise you when he sees me, he's going to ask if I said hi. So a very specific hi from Ezra. Because he wants me to tell you hi. He wants to come to Hungary someday. That's his goal in life. So I will be sure to tell him to come to Equippers when he arrives. Many of my students are up now, and they are also praying for you. Each year, as we get ready to go into a new school year, we wait on the Lord for a theme verse. And for the last couple of years, we've been moving through Romans chapter 12, this beautiful passage of scripture that is so rich and so full for those of us who are walking with Jesus. And Pastor Lynn shared with me that you would be beginning a series on love. I was immediately drawn to our theme verse. See, love is the central message of the gospel, isn't it? For God so loved the world. For God so loved you that he sent his son. It's all about love. Jesus himself said that the world would know that we belong to him by our love. In John 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus says, just as I've loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. There is a Christian song that says, we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, and we pray that our unity will one day be restored. And they will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yeah, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Loved ones, I don't know what it's like here in your beautiful land, but I know in my country, the church is not known for its love. We are not. In fact, if you ask people, they would tell you what the church is against. They would say that we are intolerant. Some would even dare to say that the church is hateful. And we've done wrong. There's no question of that. With thinking we're doing the right thing, we have harmed people in the name of Jesus. And it's horrible. Because the message of the gospel is a message of love. Love beyond human love. And the church, at least in North America, has a lot of work to do in this area. In fact, to change the world view of the church is bigger than any one assembly or one denomination. And some days it feels bigger than all of us together, doesn't it? But what if we could change how the world sees Christians? What if we could demonstrate the magnificent love of God by how we live our lives? I mean, our ordinary, busy, crazy, you know, sleeping in late, running here and there, studying, working, worshiping. What if the normal realities of our life could be so extraordinary that those around us would have to take notice that there is something different about these crazy Jesus people? I want to invite you to journey in the book of Romans with me this afternoon. I'm going to say morning. I just know it, so I'll apologize right now. All right. So my text this morning is just two verses in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. And this is the theme verse for my school this year. These words of Paul have rattled around in my heart and my mind for more than a year. And each time I read them, I have to tell you that they get weightier and weightier as their importance increases in my heart and in my mind. If you're familiar with Paul's letter to Rome, he is busy laying down doctrinal and theological truths for the church. And then we get to chapter 12, where he begins to share general requirements for what life as a Jesus follower should look like. And we're to offer ourselves as living sacrifices to God. Living sacrifices. No longer conforming to the patterns of this world. We're to be humble and honest in our view of ourselves. Now, that one's hard. In fact, I think Paul says, don't think higher of yourself than you ought to. And then we get to verse 9. And this is where Paul gets painfully specific. And I think it's what my life and your life is supposed to look like. This is a love does moment. So Paul says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong and hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other. So I should let you know something. I love children. When I first began in ministry, I was a children's pastor for a number of years. I'm the principal of a school because I love kids. I do not love paperwork, but I love kids. I love their joy. I love their curiosity. I love watching their faith grow as they learn the truth of God's word. But I have to tell you what breaks my heart. And so many of you are so young as I look out at this church. You will know if you've walked with Jesus for any length of time, especially if you've grown up in the church, that as God opened your eyes and you explored the wonder of who he was and is, you got to this place at age 10, 11, 12, where you began to realize that everything you've been taught isn't always lived out in the lives of those you love the most. And it's hard because we know what we ought to do, but we often fail to do it. And that's what the world takes notice of. They say we're hypocrites. They say that we don't have it right. We're to be known by our love, Jesus said. And I believe that this generation of children need to see us living God's truth, not just on Sundays and in public, but on Monday through Saturday in private. I believe the world needs to see us living God's truth, not just on Sundays, but on Monday through Saturday in all that we do. Typically, we look at this passage in Romans and we apply it to how we're to love fellow believers, and it's true. I want to do two things this morning. I want to look at how, this afternoon, there I did it, but at least I noticed. So the next time I do it, I won't even notice, I promise. It's so embarrassing. Anyhow, all right, back where we were. So we go through this passage in Romans 12. And it is about how we are to love each other as believers. But I want to take it one step deeper. I want to make it so personal to us. So some of you are married, and how many here hope to be married one day? How many of you hope not to be married? Listen, marriage is good and it's hard. So I want you to think about this in relationship to those around you, but also for the future that you want to have, because it matters. It matters. So I want to ask you, for those of you who are married, let me ask you very specifically, do those around you know you belong to Jesus by the way you love your spouse? For those of you hoping to be married, do those around you know you love Jesus by the way you love the people in your circle? Do you love like he loves you? Do those around you know you belong to Jesus by the way you love children? By the way you love siblings? By the way you love your friends? See, Paul says that we're not to pretend to love others. That love must be sincere. And to be sincere, love must be without deceit. And let's be honest, sometimes we fake it. Sometimes we love in word and it's shallow. And Paul's saying it doesn't work that way. That love must be sincere without deceit. That we're to hate what is evil and hold tight to what is good. So for those of you that are married, and as a married woman, I will make this confession. My husband knows that I am not perfect. My husband knows exactly how far from perfect I really am. And don't tell him, but I know how far from perfect he is too. So for those of you who are waiting to marry that perfect person, good luck. Good luck. See, Daryl and I have been together for more than half of our lives. And he knows the work the Lord has done in me. In fact, he was part of how I came to faith. We met in high school, and he loved the Lord. I thought he was so weird. He was unlike the rest of our friends. He was kind to everybody. His lifestyle was above reproach. And he kept a Bible in his backpack. Nobody did that in our high school. And when tragedy hit my family and my dad passed away, I was 17 years old. And everyone wanted to fix things for me. But Daryl just showed me the love of God every day. And by showing me the love of God, my heart changed. And a God that I once cursed became the God that I love. Love matters. So Paul says, don't pretend to love people. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tight to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other. So what does it mean to really love someone? Love is sacrificially giving of yourself to seek the highest good in another. Are you with me on that one? See, this is tough. Let's be honest. Love is sacrificially giving of yourself to seek the highest good in another person. Love is always giving. Love never takes. Loved ones, I need you to hear me this afternoon. Caught it. There you go. I also talk to myself, just so you know. Lust takes. Lust will rob, and it will take every time. Love gives. Love gives. But when you give, it is going to cost you something. Love is sacrificial giving. Love is selflessness. Love is self-giving. And it is self-denying. That's what makes it so sacrificial. Love is costly. Perhaps because it's critical to the Christian life. Perhaps you know this already. Perhaps you've experienced friendships where you've poured yourself in to somebody not to receive the same in return. But here's what we do. We often get bitter and angry and walk away from those friendships. That's not what Jesus did. You know, he pours himself out to us all the time, over and over again. We don't always reciprocate it back, do we? And yet he doesn't walk away and he doesn't quit. He keeps pouring himself out. See, there's this sense in which love is the very epicenter of the Christian walk. I think that's why it's so costly. Genuine love is of critical importance. If I genuinely love my husband from my heart, I will promote his best interests. I will do things that build him up and affirm him. I will protect his heart. I will delight in him and I will honor him because this is what the Lord requires of me. My husband is an electrician. And so he actually works in factories and he runs a lot of pipe. Don't tell him, but I don't care. I don't care about the pipe running, but I love him. So I listen to all of his stories about running pipe. Our daughters give him more of a hard time, but we take delight in him. So we listen to his stories. Do you know why? Because when we both get home, the first thing that he says is, "How was your day?" And he gives me all of the attention to tell my day first. So I will honor him and hear about the pipe. And then when we're out walking, and this has happened here in your city, he's looking at the pipes, he's looking at the electricity. And we're at Pastor Lynn and Paul's, and he's looking at the furnace. because this is what he does, and I delight in him. So I listen. I actually listen. Not always. Sometimes I pretend, and then I feel convicted. But to genuinely love somebody is to protect their heart, to delight in them, to honor them. This is what the Lord requires of us. Love is others oriented. There's this profound quote by Mother Teresa. She says that the biggest disease today is not leprosy or tuberculosis. Rather, it's the feeling of being unwanted. Now, for those of you who are still waiting to be married and you're single, and especially if you've moved to a new town, I think you can relate to that feeling sometimes of feeling unwanted. See, where there's a church, nobody should ever feel unwanted because we're to be a family. I've met far too many Christians who feel lonely and lost in their own families, in their own relationships. They know what it means to feel unwanted and unloved. Then you add a global pandemic, months of isolation, stress, fear, financial uncertainty, health challenges, political unrest, and all of this makes for an unsettling reality for everyone. We don't know the future, do we? But loved ones, we know who holds the future. But when we are scared, when we are feeling vulnerable, when we are feeling uncertain, quite often our sin nature takes over and we enter into this fight or flight mentality. And those that are closest to us often suffer when we go into this defense mode. If you're married, or if you're hoping to be married, you end up with the person that the Lord is asking you to display his love to the whole world with. So for those of you who are waiting to be married and hoping and praying, choose wisely. Wait. Don't rush. Discern. Seek godly counsel. Because for the rest of your life, you are to display the love of God with that very imperfect person. In the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about mutual submission. The scriptures talk about marriage as two people becoming one. The day Daryl and I got married, I became one with him. And listen, we are two very imperfect people with our very own ideas. With different opinions and different desires. He likes running pipe and I don't. And yet we had to learn how to become one. We don't think the same. We don't act the same. But God has said, I've joined you together. Now display my love to the world around you. There are a lot of challenging things in this life. And loved ones, marriage and relationships are one of them. If you have a friend, if you have a sibling, siblings are the best way to know that other people are imperfect, right? You're perfect, but your brother or your sister, not so much. There's a lot of challenging things in this life, and being in relationship with another human being is one of them. The Lord knows that in order to display his love, it requires that we are to die to self. To sincerely love one another, to delight in honoring each other, we are to live sacrificially. For and with each other. We are to cling to what is good in each other. When we cling to what is good, when we hate what is evil, when we genuinely love one another, when we honor and delight in each other, we display the love God has for creation in our relationships. And the world around us experiences it. So how can we move closer to displaying God's love in our human relationships, in our marriage, in our friendships? How do we live this out? Well, first, for those of you who are hoping to be married, and those of you who are married, let me say this. Stop waiting for the right person. Stop waiting for your spouse to change and become the right person. Become who Jesus has called you to be. Become somebody who loves genuinely, whose love is sincere, that there's no deceit in your love. Become the person who loves sacrificially, where it's all about the other person and not about you. This is hard, but this is what Jesus has done. Jesus poured out himself on the cross for you and for me. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, the sacrificial Lamb of God. And the world will take notice if you and I begin to live in that sacrificial posture. Let me tell you, you can never be taken advantage of if you are pouring yourself out to others. You cannot be harmed if you live to serve at the pleasure of the King, because it becomes not your life, it's his life through you. So stop worrying about the right person and become the right person. Become the person who models the love of Christ in every relationship you have. When I think about the love of God, maybe it's because we just came through Holy Week. I think about Jesus washing the dirt off the feet of the disciples. This posture, this mentality and heart posture of becoming a foot washer. To hold no record of wrong. To serve. When Noah was naked and drunk in the tent, one of his sons went in and looked and laughed and went and found his brothers and said, "Hey, come see Dad naked and drunk in the tent." And then two sons came and they walked in that tent backwards. And they covered their father's shame. That's what love does. That's what Jesus did. So we need to become foot washers in the way we serve the world around us, in the way we serve those closest to us. We love humbly and sincerely, and the world will take notice. We need to walk in love. Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians of the virtues of love. He says, love is patient and kind. It's not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. God's call to love does not demand its own way. Sincere love is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. Love never gives up. It never loses faith. It always hopes, and it endures through every circumstance. Walking in love is to never give up. Jesus does not quit people. Have you noticed that in Scripture? Jesus never walked away from anyone. They walked away from him, but he never walked away from anyone. Do you know what that means for us? We're to love when it's hard. We're to love when it feels impossible. Because we, the church, need to be known by our love. We do not have permission to quit on people, especially the ones we've entered covenant with. Lastly, we need to fix our eyes and our heart's desire on pleasing the Lord through our relationships. Have you considered this? That the way you take care of those around you is part of your worship to God. It's part of how you display all that He's done for you. It's how you model His love in your life. Our marriages, our families are to be models of Christ's love. How are you doing? Everyone around us will know that we belong to Jesus by our love. So don't just pretend to love people. Really love them. Hate what is wrong and hold tight to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other. This means that you have to also let people love you. It means you have to choose to be vulnerable with people. I know that we all have our stories of disappointment where we've been let down in relationship. But we do not have permission to quit on people. Jesus didn't quit. So loved ones, our call is to lean in, to trust, to be vulnerable, to love unconditionally. And I promise you that as you become that church, as you become those people, your city, your country will take notice. If you want to change the world, love. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love is what revives a cold and broken heart. Love is what gives people a sense of belonging. Love is what begins to breathe hope back in to broken and lost souls. I'm excited to hear of your street ministry and how you are going out and just meeting people and sharing the love of God with them. And I want to close this evening with praying blessing over you. That God will add to your numbers, that your love on display, that your love on display will change a nation. As we toured yesterday, I couldn't help but notice all of the beautiful cathedrals. And Lynn and I were talking and wondering why one couldn't get along with another, that couldn't get along with the other. They built so many. And in Canada, we have nothing that compares to this. We're still a baby country in comparison to Europe. But we're not far behind you in becoming post-Christian. I look at your architecture. We look at cathedrals. And the beautiful detail that I have to believe was done from a place of worship. A place of honor and awestruck with God. And it is my heart's prayer for you that as you share the gospel, as you go and you love the people of your city, that they will see the wonder of God, not through the paintings and the art, well, that is beautiful, but through you, the masterpieces of the Holy Spirit, and that a nation will be changed. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for Equippers Church. I thank you for your loved ones here. Lord, I thank you for the move of your Spirit among your people. And I thank you that you are the God who changes destinies every day. Lord, I can't believe that you choose to use us. We are broken and we've been hurt and we have stories. And yet, broken vessels, you choose to put your Spirit in clay pots. You choose to shine the light and life of your kingdom through us. So, Father, I pray for a move of your Spirit in this place. Lord, in this city, through your people, that the darkness will dissipate in the light of your presence. That a move of your Spirit will come upon this nation, and that there will be breakthrough, Lord. That those who have forgotten about you will remember. Lord, that generations who have walked away will be restored, that prodigals will come home. Lord, that there will be hearts of stone turned to hearts of flesh. I pray for favor in high places. Lord, I ask that you would move in the government. I ask that you would move in the leadership of the land. Lord, I pray that you will give a supernatural ability to your people to love the unlovable, to love the broken, to love the outcast, to love the spouse, to love the friend, to love the parent and the child. Lord, that there would be this supernatural evidence of your love in your people here in Budapest. And Father, we will be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory, for you are good and your mercy endures forever. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
How about staying?